Blog Talk Radio.
Head & Shoulders is launching something huge. The bare minimum. Anti-dandruff shampoo made with only 9 ingredients. No sulfates, silicones, or dyes. And packaged with 45% less plastic. Giving you outstanding dandruff protection and leaving hair beautiful and moisturized. Major dandruff protection, minimal ingredients. Job done. New Head & Shoulders Bare.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Thank you.
Excelsior, the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever. My friend, my family, the great brother, the magic man Haru, Unibach, Atun. I'll be back on to give you more about these movies because I'm sharing it with my man.
Wow. Peace and abundant divine blessings. You're now listening to the tone of voice of the master sound therapist, master sound healer, and the grand architect of the universe. We're broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. The number to call in is 516-453-9133. You press 1 to speak or to interact with me. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. It ain't about time, it's about say time. Look, tonight is a very special episode. Me and my DJ, you know, at times, me and Hall of Fame four times, we like to play the game of one-on-one. So we're going to play the game of one-on-one, but we're going to do it differently. It's not about sports tonight. It's not even so much about hip-hop or music like that. But we're going to take a delve into an era, a serious era as we came out of the 60s. And we're talking about the black exploitation films. The original film that was put on record took place in 1971. Check the calendar. And we got to give a shout out to Sweetback's Bad Ass Song. You know, from that film that produced many other films that came after it, it offered us a chance to start to see ourselves in a more constant basis. You know, we already had a lockdown on when it came to music and things like that. But when it came to Hollywood, you know, if we really, really look at it, it didn't show our people, the so-called African-American and the many things in which we are called Native Americans or whatever. It didn't really show us always in a good light. And even if you really, really look at it, the black exploitation films is really two words that's conjoined together. Of course, black, as we've been called, right? But to exploit a people, to exploit a situation, right? But here's the unique thing. Everything isn't always bad, or everything isn't what it always appeared to be. If we really, really think about it, 1971 was bringing us out of a serious period of conditioning. It was in the 1960s, a serious movement of many different movements that came before the 1960s, right? But we dealt with segregation, delving into integration, where a lot of us was held back for such a long time. So coming out of that, we started to see ourselves on film, on the big screen, right? So I got to give Hollywood some credit, but I'm going to tell you something. With many of the greats that started to show up on film, this is why we're going to start off with Volume 1. Me and Hall of Fame Four Time is going to do Volume 1 as we kick it off, and we speak about Uptown Saturday Night, one of our personal favorites, but we're also going to mention some other films during that black exploitation era. And notice now, even though we're highlighting Uptown Saturday Night, there was many films that came after that, but especially the actors, such as Wim Bill Cosby, such as the late, great Sidney Poitier. And this is also a very special dedication to the late, great Harry Belafonte. And we're going to speak about little snippets that took place within the film. Some of you may have saw that and remember that era. So even though we're living in this day and time of June 27th, 2023, I want us to all go back to an era where we started to see ourselves on. And like the great Usher said, if you're going to tell it, you got to tell it all. And those films show the pimps, the hoes, but it also shows faith of a people. And one of the songs that was highlighted in that movie, it shows, where it's sung about how we got over, how my soul sat back and wondered how we got over. And it also shows the power of a people that was full of gratitude. Go back and watch, and you can see how they celebrated. Out of all the hell that we have been through for 400 plus years, right, from 6 to 2019, right? So if you look at from 619 to 2019, thanks to Joe Biden, right? And, of course, thanks to all in all who made it and set it into law where they didn't speak that 400-year bondage to no other people but a people that was taken in bondage that was right in sync with what our scriptures were saying all along. Some of you may be curious to know, like I received my call over 38 years ago, and I was sent to deliver a message. And I have been delivering that message for well over 38 years in many different forms. I took that from walking the streets of Nam and entered synagogues, churches, mosques, as well as meeting people on one-on-one group sessions, taking on all kind of speaking engagements to deliver that message that was given to me on June 13, 1985, over 38 years ago. Okay? Now, this is a celebration tonight as we give highlight to some of the greatest films that took place during that blaxploitation era. Now, for those who like to do research, I want you to look it up, as I like to say, Bereshit, which is Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. That's very important. For those of you that are adherents to the scriptures, be it the Torah or the Old Testament, it's been there all along. It's time for us to rise up out of our slumber, original people, the original children of the Most High. Yes, we have been through hell and beyond, but I also want us to think about it, like that great song says, how my soul sit back and wonder how we got over. You think of another people that was able to survive some of the most hellacious conditions to ever exist, not just in the United States, but on this entire planet Earth. And if that be the case, I want us also to think about it. We haven't been out of this bondage that long. And if you listen to me as I tell it and do my best to try to deliver it through sound therapy, I say I want us to take our mind back, because if you take your mind back, you can take your soul back. You got to take complete ownership of your soul. And when you take complete ownership, there is nothing on this earth, any enemy in any form, that can do to contest it. So this is a great time for celebration, and we're going to kick it off with me and my DJ as we speak about movies that made us. So Hall of Fame for a time. With no further ado, do us the honors.
Thank you.
Town Saturday Night is a 1974 American action comedy crime film written by Richard Rusty and directed and starring Sidney Poitier, with Bill Cosby and Harry Belafonte co-starring. Cosby and Poitier teamed up, of course, with Let's Do It Again in 1970. Cosby and Poitier's characters had different names in each film. The three films are considered to be a trilogy. Uptown Saturday Night premiered on June 15, 1974, at the Curtain Theater in New York City, Harlem, and opened to positive reviews. Now, here's the plot, y'all. We're all enjoying themselves at Madame Zenobia's Club on Saturday night. Steve Jackson and Wardell Franklin are held up by robbers who raid the club and steal Steve's wallet. When they realize that the winning lottery ticket was worth $50,000 in the wallet, now, of course, these days, that dollar ticket would have been worth about $285,000 today's, you know, money. Steve and Wardell set out to find the crooks themselves with the help of gangster Geechee Dan Buford, who wanted to defeat his rival, Silky Smith. Steve and Wardell devised a plan to recover the ticket. Now, of course, the main cast, Sidney Poitier is the mill worker and tame family man. Phil Cosby is Wardell Franklin, taxi driver, and Steve's best friend. Careful attitude and will often act impulsively when presented with thrilling and exciting situations. Harry Belafonte is Dan Geechee Dan Buford, a short-tempered gangster. Although he's tough and stubborn, he's also persuaded when money is involved. Calvin Lockhart as Silky Slim, the lead gangster and rival of Geechee Dan. Driven by money, he and his crew rob everybody at Madame Zenobia's and steal cast and jury, including Steve's wallet. And also, honorable mention, supporting cast, Flip Wilson as the Reverend and Richard Pryor as Sharp Eye Washington, steady on the case. How you feel about that, brother?
Man, that was excellent. Hall of Fame four times. Man, this is a great honor tonight for us to celebrate many of our greats. Even though, again, coming out of a serious situation, right, where we was confined. And like I say, during the time that they call it the Blaxploitation, you know, exploiting black people, right? Those two words conjoined, right? But it showed us in many different forms. Even though they had to show the drug deals, they had to show, you know, some people being on drugs and getting caught up like that, right? But it also showed people that was in business. And as I mentioned earlier at the introduction, right, it showed the faith of a people. Even though they, you know, went to churches, and you also mentioned another one of my favorite films, you know, when Let's Do It Again, right? They showed the people in the Masonic regalia. Some people know. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. With the tall bush and all that kind of stuff on there. But the main thing I also want to emphasize tonight is I want us, the people, to be proud that we overcame, just like that song says. How my soul sat back and wonder how we got over. And again, yeah, we got a lot to be mad about. And this is another reason why I was inspired to come to Hall of Fame four times, because I want to put him to work tonight. This is John Adventures, I like to say.
Man, you are putting me to work tonight. And of course, honorable mention tonight, man, the man, the myth, the legend, okay, Harold Nicholas playing the great Little Seymour Pettigrew. I mean, this show was the greatest thing I ever seen as a child, man. Like, it was just, to me, amazing because, you know, we had all those great black actors at one time. You know, can we get that together now without any egos? Maybe putting, you know, cash back to do a great – I would love to see Uptown Saturday Night again, man. Again, you know, remade the right way. You know what I'm saying? Not a whole lot of violence and all that. Maybe a little beating up here and there, no shooting and all that. But just real good comedy together again. You know what I'm saying? And I think that straight man, who could play the straight man? In my opinion, brother, Huni Bakasun, it should be Denzel Washington playing Steve Jackson. And I think Wardell Franklin, no one else could embody that than Michael Epps himself. So I think it should be Denzel Washington and Michael Epps, man. Can you imagine that? Mike Epps and Denzel playing that part, man. Could you imagine that? With Kevin Hart in that movie? as little Seymour Pettigrew? See, I'm going at it. Who could play Silky Slim? Nobody else could play him other than Leon. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Hey.
Geechee Dan Buford.
Yeah.
Who could play Geechee Dan Buford better to me? Ready for this? Than CeeLo Green.
Hey, I totally agree with you, but I also got to add honorable mention to my brother, the only other son of my mother. And I said it to you, and I'm going to share this live and direct, man. I sent him a copy, so hopefully he's... I'm talking about, and don't mistake, you mentioned Seymour Pettigrew, right? And it shows that, you know, you don't estimate a person by their size according to stature. Because if you go back and watch that scene, the funniest, and I'm talking about fall on the floor comedy, just holding your side, y'all. And this is something that really disturbed me when comedy started to be attacked. I had to still slide that one in there. You understand? Comedy gives us a chance to laugh, y'all. We all got our struggles.
Escape.
We all got our challenges that we face here during Mission Planet Earth, right? But, you know, when you really go back to that film, it had all kind of storylines within that film. But if you go back and watch even today, you'll laugh just as hard today four times as we saw it the very first time, man. That's what you call
Listen, I said Kevin Hart is the only person that can play Seymour Pettigrew. He's the only one. You know what I mean? Who could be big person? You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. And if I wrote the screenplay, it would be LeBron James. Because remember now, we all know that Ed Too Tall Jones was an outstanding football player. He played big person. That, man, to get LeBron James walking in there 6'8", talking about, oh, no, I'm big person. What, bro? What, man? What? And now we got some fine women, man, that can play Zenobia right now. To me, right now, and you look at it, I'm going to ask you, who could play Zenobia? Coming down off those steps, man, coming off the, you know that that stairs, man. Who could play Zenobia? You tell me.
So many of our greats, but here's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye, man. I would have to give it to Felicia Rashad.
No, but Felicia retired too old, man. No, hell no. No, we got to head. No, Felicia Rashad.
Hey, but she's still beautiful,
man.
Though. She's still beautiful.
Man. She can play Wardell Franklin's mom. But I'm gonna say it like this, right? Zenobia right now, to me, okay? And I know that everybody might not like this, but I'm gonna say it right now. Since you're gonna bring up old chicks, that means I think that it would be Halle Berry.
Oh, yeah. Man. Now, Halle Berry is nice.
Yeah.
She's, to me, I got to give it to Halle. She's definitely, to me, I think she's underrated, man. I mean, she's a well-rounded when it comes to some of the, and she was able to tap into many different emotions. So, yeah, I stand with you on that one, Hall of Fame, four times.
Listen, man, we're going to keep on going, keep on grooving and moving, because the next soundtrack is, hey, Jerry Batista, we see you, man. You next. This here, man, I believe is the greatest black exploitation movie of all time. And if you remember the movie, remember this song.
My love is right, so we can always be together.
any man would be proud to know. Kind of woman have a man bragging everywhere he goes.
The Mac is a 1973 American black exploitation crime film drama directed by California native and my main man, Michael Cantor, starring Max Julian and Richard Pryor. The film also stars Oscar-nominated Juanita Moore and Tony-nominated actor, the great Dick Anthony Williams. Filmed in Oakland, California, the movie follows the rise and fall of Goldie, whose return from a five-year prison sentence finds him that his brother is involved in a black nationalism movement. Now, Goldie decides to take an alternative path, striving to become the city, though reviews were less favorable upon, you know, initial release, the Mac is considered by many critics to be the best entry in this genre. The film is often categorized as black exploitation, okay? And others involved in this production had argued that the genre label oversimplifies the film. And, of course, the film's soundtrack, me being the DJ, I love it, was recorded by the great Motown artist, Willie Hutch. The Mac, y'all, and back to Honey Buckatoon. Because you know what? Everybody else in the world knows about WBNN because they choose us, babe.
Man, I am really, really enjoying this, man. It gives us a chance to really highlight during that day and time. And like I mentioned before, if we're going to tell it, we're going to tell it all. And yes, it showed everything. It showed the drug deals going bad, right? It showed all kind of things during that era, but it also showed how we had the will to survive and the will to make it. This is John Adventist, man, and I know that we're not the only ones that enjoyed that era. I actually feel, you know, I don't want to say I'm anti-emotion. I have to be during this day and time, right? But I will say this. We enjoyed the classics, and even though there are some films that's being put out today, but I compare to the production and all of those greats, man, how they was able to, within a matter of two hours on the average, right, Hall of Fame four times, they was able to come with a great storyline. They was able to come with a great storyline.
Yeah, it was a fantasy, man. You went to the movies, man, after Hard Day's Work in 1970. There wasn't a whole lot. Yeah, maybe you had a color TV, or maybe whatever. But you took your girl out, man, or your boys. Went, hey, man, let's go see the Mac, man. So, listen, we got a caller right now that's biting at the bit to talk to us. Yeah, we talking about some great black movies of the 70s. Caller number one, you're live with the boy, Honey Bacatoon, and your honey bee.
Hey, boys. Hello.
Hey, girl.
Hey. International Hall of Fame. Oh, man, you're so many things. And congratulations to be the first, you know, to get, what is it, the four doubles that you had?
Nah. See, then you go hating. Yeah, six. You know
that's
what,
right,
man?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You tell him, okay?
Yes, it's six. Well deserved. That's six well deserved. You know,
thank
perfect
you.
Tens. I'm so proud of you. Love you with the heart and soul of me. Hey,
thank
but what,
you.
What do you remember? What do you remember during that era? You know, I'm 55 years young myself, getting younger. But you mean to tell me that you actually remember that blaxploitation era?
So, okay, I'm going to – listen, you know I want to tell the truth, right? I don't remember a lot of it. You got to remember, I'm 62 years old, and I had a kid at 20. I was in art school in 79. I had so much going on. I don't remember all that. We didn't have the technology that we have now. We didn't have all the social media. We didn't have everything shooting at us. You know what I mean? So it was like we were in a little bit of a bubble back then.
Yes,
and
indeed.
That's
the truth.
You know, it's the truth. And you
well,
know,
this is what I'm going to do for you, Jerry. I'm going to send you the list of these outstanding movies, man. You get a chance to binge, and you get a chance to say, wow. You know, for the first time, you know, really was Shaft to me that really let the whole America know that, you know, black actors were worthy to be in the front screen. And you look at how Shaft was done. When he came out the subway, Jerry, right? It was the first time that a camera looked at the actual main character as a human being walking through, you know, Manhattan, you know, crossing the street. And the music, like he had a theme song as he was walking. That changed cinema forever because, of course, you being an Italian, they used that in Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta, didn't it? When he came out the subway in Brooklyn. Right? So they used the same thing, but it was Richard Roundtree first with Shaft that told, you know, all the people around the world that you can do that. You can focus that camera on your main character at the beginning of a movie. How about that, homie
Andrew? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Man, that was perfect.
That's
that was perfect.
Cool.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
You brought up Saturday Night Fever, so I'll give you a little tidbit here, guys. So someone reached out to me who's up in age, okay, very up in age right now, who has all the original photos, everything that went on with that movie, the costumes, right? And I didn't know half of this. We were going to do an interview. I'm not sure if it's going to happen because of copyright stuff. But that movie, John Travolta portrayed, and the real guy never got paid. So I didn't know any of this either.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's been
that's right.
so much going on about that to this day.
Listen now, baby. Bayside Brooklyn stand up, y'all. And of course, you know, like I said, you know, with, you know, the Mac, you know what I mean? That was a brother coming back home from prison, Jerry. And he wanted to do right at first. His brother was in the movement saying, hey, man, we got to get rid of the pushers and the dope dealers. He said, man, I'm not trying to hear that, man. You know what I mean? Because, look, baby, I'm trying to make my own money. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I'm going to do it. I'm going to get these women, man, and change their minds. Like, the Mac was so crazy. That
crazy.
Movie, Jerry, was so crazy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, Goldie was getting these women, man, and he was, you know, really manipulating them, man, to do anything that, you know, that he wanted them to do. And that pimp
crazy.
Game, you know what I mean? You know, it's crazy. But, man, we want to thank you for calling into this, man. We got so much to go over, man. I got some more movies to do. But, man, talk to us, man.
Can I share something real quick? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Two important things. Today, I celebrate 32 years of sobriety, a changed life. God
Yay.
Saved my life 32 years ago.
Today, oh, wow,
today.
Jerry. Congratulations, man. Happy
tell
birthday.
You who my, thank you. I want to tell you who my next guest is probably going to be, guys. Are you sitting down? Okay. Donnie Moe.
Yeah, I'm in my studio.
From Happy
down.
Days.
Oh,
Ralph
Mouth.
Oh. No.
Yo, Jerry,
I interviewed him.
Jerry.
Yes. No, listen.
Jerry.
I interviewed him tonight on Hamilton Radio, and he agreed to be on WBNN. So it's either going to be my next one or the one after. Yes.
Listen, I grew up looking at ABC, man. You know, of course, that Thursday night lineup with Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. You know what I mean? I always called Jerry Petito my own Laverne DeFazio. And, you know, it's crazy to have someone that, you know what I mean, that, you know, I see somebody that, you know, I really like. You know, I like Donnie Moe as an actor. But Ralph Mouth, man, you know, he was just he was like the geek that was really cool. And
we
you know what?
Him.
Man, I can't. Yeah, I can't
so,
wait for
so
that.
On my,
Jerry, you be fine. You be fine, Jerry.
So the show is on my Facebook, guys, okay? So go check it out, and he will be on WBNN. Thank you. I love you guys.
I love you too, Jerry. Hey, we're going to have Ralph Malvo on the one and only Beverly Nation, man. We be getting these stars, man. I'm so proud of what we have done for 10 years, man. And, you know, we're going to get right back to it, our brother, because this movie right here was the sequel to Enter the Dragon, if you didn't know, because this man was so great that they had to do it again, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Is it Black Jones? Jones is a 1974 American blaxploitation of martial arts film by the great Robert Klaus and starring Jim Kelly and my wonderful, beautiful girl, ooh, sexy chocolate, Miss Gloria Hendry. The film is a spiritual successor to Klaus's prior film, Enter the Dragon, in which Kelly had a supporting role. But here, Kelly features his first starring role as the infamous character, a local hero who fights the mafia and a local drug dealer, threatening his friend's dojo. That's right, when you about to tune down.
Man, that was major, man. And again, it showed the beautiful, beautiful people that was on film, man. I mean, and the energy during that day and time, man, it was bringing that soul back, which is coming up on my next episode, man, The Return of the Soul. That'll be the very next one. But tonight, man, we are doing it up, man, to pay justice to a lot of the greats, especially. And we got to highlight the late, great Harry Belafonte. I want to say not only did he do it up in the musical industry, but I was really surprised. This is a true confession. I was really surprised at his acting ability. Cause, and shout out to Jerry Petito that just called in and blessed us for calling in. Hey, this is John Adventures. Everyone press that one and come on and interact with us because I know that you might have some personal films that we have yet to mention tonight. So I definitely want to put that out there. But back to Harry Belafonte, I was really surprised. And to me, correct me if I'm wrong, he was like the godfather. Mm-hmm. Remember when he first came out, taking it back to Saturday Night Live, when he was walking, he got out the car. It had that, I don't know if they were playing the oud or whatever, but it had that flavor, like the godfather type of flavor that he actually was playing.
Yeah, it did.
Even when he was
you know,
actually talking,
crazy?
It reminded me too much.
But, yeah. You know what's crazy? When he had that egg. You know what I mean? It took them two, you know, raw eggs and drunk that, man, and then used the Vicks, you know what I mean, side next, man, the clearest side of the
yeah.
And he said, look,
yeah.
He said, what the hell you want? I said, oh, my God. He said, man, look, man, we just coming to you, man, because, you know, Zenobia's was raw. You know what I mean?
Oh, my
Yo,
God, man.
It's crazy.
Oh.
And listen, man, it's Joint Adventures. We got another call on the line, man, before I go to my next movie. You know what I mean? I want everybody to stay on here, man. Call you live with the boy, Honey Bakasim. Talk to the brother, Black Belt Jones.
Peace. What's going on with you, brothers? It's Jetty A-Track of the Soul Genius Shampoo Show. How y'all living?
All right. You said you're going to get through. Hey, Jetty A-Track, you made sure you got on your bell bottoms. Now, I can't see you, but I can feel if you wearing those bell bottoms, man. Are you wearing those bell bottoms tonight?
You know what? Right now, I got some shorts on. It's a little bit cold. I should be wearing some bell bottoms, but this is what I'm going to do for you, brother. This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Just because I ain't got my bell bottoms on, you know what I mean? Just to show love and respect for what's going on, because it's beautiful. I'm writing the list down of all these movies I need to catch up on. I just want to add one movie to the list of the great blaxploitation era, you know what I'm saying? And this is a movie that my mom actually put me on, and it became one of my favorite movies of all time as far as coming from the blaxploitation era, and that goes Five on the Black Hand Side. You dig?
Starting your mess, bro. Mess with my man. Hold on. Yes, he did. Wait. With Glenn Turman? You know what I mean? Mr. Cooley High himself? Man, you gonna stop
yes,
playing
sir.
With me, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
man,
sir.
You ain't nothing, wow. Man. You ain't nothing, my brother.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you're doing more. Jetty 8-Track, you're doing more than just jive talk, man. That was a serious error. But, again, it was a prelude to a lot of the things in which we're doing today, man, but it just shows so much pride with the afros, the big, great, big Angela Davis afro to the short and natural, man. A lot of the sisters, man, was being proud of how they look, and I'm talking about beautiful, beautiful people, man, you know?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So what you got going on, man? I know that you're definitely one of the greatest to be amongst us here at our great company of WBNN, man. So what you got, Stern?
Oh, man, listen, I'm blessed and I'm humbled to receive that blessing from you. It means a lot to me, you know what I'm saying? As for right now, I'm just keeping things moving and grooving and shaking and baking until the next show, which is going to be July 17th, if I'm not mistaken, at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Wait a minute. You acting like me with Clap, man. Ain't no July 17th. That was my birthday. You mean August 17th?
Hold on. That was my fault, you know what I'm saying? I forgot to wish my brother happy born day on air, so that's my fault. That's my conscience dealing with me, you know what I'm saying? It is going to be August 17th. It's going to be August 17th at 9:30 on this great
Nation,
WBNN, you know what I mean? Once again, I just wanted to show love to y'all brothers. Y'all keep on rocking. Y'all keep on grooving. Man. I'm going to stay tuned. You dig?
Man, listen, man, we got some more movies for you, man. You know I love you. I love you like a fat boy love cake. And, of course, we go right back to the mix, y'all. And this song right here, you remember this movie, man, because the song will supply your need.
Doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long,
nothing is off my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Cross 110th Street is a hell of a test. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman this week. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkies go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. You bet it.
Across 110th Street is a 1972 American action film directed by Barry Scheer and starring my man, Yaphet Kotto, Anthony Quinn, and Paul Benjamin. This film is set in Harlem, New York, and takes its name from, of course, 110th Street, to a traditional dividing line between Harlem and Central Park that functioned as the informal boundary of race, class in 1970s New York, focusing on a heist, murder, and a subsequent investigation. Across 110th Street takes inspiration from both the blaxploitation films of the 70s as well as the film Noir Jeff. Of course, Across 110th Street is remembered in part for its soundtrack, which features my man, the classic song, Tonight About Bobby Womack, because, you know, Hootie Baccatoon, it's amazing that that man said that the man on the other side of town will catch hell if it wasn't a ghetto around.
Man, divine truth right there. To me, one of the greatest lines that was ever inserted inside of a record, and that's the truth, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. But here's also something unique now. Even though people were struggling to survive and doing all kind of things, right? Like I said before, and I'm going to mention again, if we're going to tell it, we're going to tell it all. And they did everything that they could. We might be judgmental and say that, you know, doing the drug thing wasn't right and, you know, left a lot of people, became addicted and all that kind of stuff like that. But y'all know me. For over 38 years, I said it, and I'm going to say it again tonight. You name another people that was able to overcome some of the most addictive drugs, some of the most addicted to drugs, just like, you know, the great Jared Petito just mentioned. You get what I'm saying? And I'm proud that, you know, first of all, I'm proud of her because she's doing great work here doing Mission Planet Earth. But I'm also just as proud of the people. I was never addicted to drugs like that. You get what I'm saying? But it shows the strength and the power of people to overcome. And that's
talk
the
about
thing that I don't want to lose sight of. We had the willpower to overcome, and we always was in a gratitude. And you already know what I'm talking about. I'm already feeling you, and I'm enjoying the sound therapeutic selections that you put on so far. But I can't wait till you play that version. You understand? Of how
Don't worry about that. We got another caller in queue, baby. You know what I mean? Of course, okay. 110th Street. You know what I mean? Harlem, New York, stand up. Caller, you're live right now with Honey Barker Tune, and we will aware you right here on the one and only Beverly Nation.
Hello.
Hey,
Honey.
Hey, how you doing? International Internet a Hall of Fame nominee. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent. So proud of you. I am so proud of you. Congratulations on you meeting criteria thus far. You keep it up and just keep doing the work that you were sent to do during Mission Planet Earth. Now, I know that you was at a young age during this blaxploitation era, but do you remember some of those films that was taking place that we're speaking about tonight?
I heard y'all talking about the 70s. If I was born, I was a baby. So I don't remember.
That's okay.
I got
but I'm the same level. We're gonna send her the same list of movies when she's on her downtime,
yes,
which is hardly ever, because you know Angela Todd Smith only sleeps like maybe 4 hours a day. But however, I'm gonna still send you, you know what I mean, that you know, so you get catch up on these blaxploitation movies and you say, wow, what a people, what a grand of people.
Right. I mean, I've heard family members talk about some of these people that I'm hearing y'all talk about tonight. So I've heard the names. So, I need to put a face with those names. You know, it's
yes,
good
indeed
to know. So, yeah.
How you like the soundtrack tonight?
I was going to say, I'm over here jamming off the music. So, yeah, if they going to have some of this music going on the movies, I definitely want to watch.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it, girl. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And of course, you know, tell us about what you had planned, man. Of course, you was on last night, Grand Champion, 50th all time Connection Record, man. You know, honoring Darlene Lawrence. You know, I mean, you might not have your topic yet, but you know, talk about your plan. How about this? How's this as a question? Tell us about your plan for Walking the Purpose. What is your motivation?
So my motivation is to let everybody know that we can be the change that we desire in this world. You know, we have that power to be the change, and it's up to us. So it's a lot of us waiting for something to happen. Well, newsflash, it's not going to happen unless you make it happen. So get up, do something, and that's what it's about, walking in your purpose, because we all got a purpose. We didn't get dropped out of the sky. So, yeah, thank you for walking in your purpose, because if you didn't walk in your purpose, I wouldn't be right here right now on this call.
Wow.
So thank you for just being who and what you are.
Before I let you go, man, you know, you gave me a great shout, you know, today, and I really appreciate that. But, of course, a mentor becomes a mentor, right? You know, you're born to be a mentor. And what she's doing over there, the Crew Podcast, showing the way as a entrepreneur herself, the great Angela Thomas Smith. One day, not only will we recognize as a host in the Hall of Fame, but it'll be one of the greatest gifts of my life to see her going as a producer into the Hall of Fame. And she needs all of your support this year in 2023. She's an outstanding young lady. Stay on, girl, because we ain't finished with you yet. Because we're going to somewhere right now that you've never been before. Because your car is dirty. You need to be ashamed of yourself. Wash your car today. Yeah.
some of the work gets kind of hard. And this ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you at the food, at the car wash.
Car Wash, okay, it's a 1976 American comedy film released for the first time by Universal Pictures. Directed by my man again, Michael Schultz, you know what I mean, Compton Stand Up, from a screenplay by Joel Schumacher. The film stars Frank the Jive, Bill Duke, George Carlin, Ivan Dixon, Antonio Fargas, Lorraine Gray, the Pointer Sisters, and Richard Pryor and the great Garrett Marks. Originally conceived as a musical, Car Wash is an episodic comedy about day-to-day lives, a close-knit group of employees at the Los Angeles, California Car Wash. Film at the great Westlake Car Wash still is, you know, resides today at the corner of Rampart Boulevard and 6th Street. Yeah, L.A., stand up. And their boss, Leon, Mr. B. Barrow. Now, over a single Friday in July, the Deluxe Car Wash hosts all type of manners of strange businesses, including historical wealthy woman from Beverly Hills filled with her car sick son, money-hungry evangelist Daddy Rich, who preaches a pseudo-gospel prosperity theology, and appears with his loyal and singing entourage, of course, the Wilson singers, of course, you know, the Pointer Sisters, right? One main character is Abdullah Muhammad Akbar. Formerly, his name was Dwayne, a tall, black revolutionary and recent convert to Islam, who dismisses Daddy Rich's preaching when the quartet visits donations from the employees. Imagine that. Among other, you know, misadventures, the employees must deal with a man that is believed to be the notorious pop bottle bomber being sought by the day by the police. It alarms the, you know, the employees, the customers, and the owner of the car wash, Mr. B, but the strange man bomb turned out to be simply a urine sample that he's taken to the hospital on a liver test. Now, my main man, Theodore Chauncey C.T. Elkins, the man is played by Franklin Ajay. Okay, he's determined to win a radio calling contest to win tickets. He convinces his strange girlfriend, Mona, a waitress working across the street, to accompany him. And he also eventually succeeded. Working at the car wash, him.
Man, that was crazy, man. And I love that scene. And it showed that Ebony love, man, the brother with that afro, man, he had real love. And I love the fact that, you know, shout out to Rolls Royce, one of the greatest, greatest bands that went live. And, I mean, that whole soundtrack, if I'm correct, Hall of Fame, four times, you just mentioned Car Wash, man. That's another one I want y'all attentive listening audience to go back and check out, man. But, you know, the storylines back then, I mean, there was so, you know, so many different storylines that was happening, man. There was a brother that was, you know, I think he just made it out of prison. And he also
Ivan Dixon. Ivan Dixon, who played, my man Lonnie, which is my surname. And, of course, Lonnie, man, was just trying to take care of his, you know, his daughter and his son, man. And had that, you know, that
Theo
always came by the car watch. Look, man, you know, you see me working, man. You come in every day, man. Can you leave me alone, bro?
Right.
Let me do my thing, man. You know what I mean? You know, I love my kids, man. Why are you doing this to me? And that sounds like, you know, the same things that go on today, man. It's crazy. You know what I mean? We got some callers out that are ready to come on here, man. Caller, you're live right now with your boy, Huni Bakatun. Your boy, keep playing the music, man. We will wear you, man. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Welcome to Joint Adventures.
All right.
State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Caller, and this person, I know he's waiting, fighting at the bit for this one, man. Caller, you're live right now. We will wear you.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where the smart moms got stripes on their tubes dressing, and they got flip-flops on with the black card on the feet while they shopping for what they got. What's good?
I'm shopping at Woolworths.
Yo, Huni, man, you took it real.
You're good.
Wait a minute. Nephew is younger than us, man. You can't be talking about no damn WF Woolworths, my man, Clever One, man. You ain't nothing, man.
Yo, so check this out, right? Yo, I see that y'all wilding out with the black exploitations. You know what I'm saying? You know, they the films, man. They got the good music on there, good bands and music on it. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing with that, right? But, yo, the one I like, right, that was like in the mix with that was the Richard Pryor joint. Which way was up? Which way is up is the joint. That was crazy.
Yes.
That was a
that's
crazy
volume
joint
two.
Me,
that's
man.
Volume two, man. Hey, Clef, that's volume two, man. You start your mess upon us, man. Go ahead, dig it, man. Dig it.
Yeah.
That was crazy, man. Yo, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I had dug into those kind of films because, you know, a lot of those films you kind of get into trying to get some action, you know what I mean, where you kind of looking for different kinds of action, you know what I mean? I get into Westerns. I get into all that, all them type of joints like that, the old gangster joints, you know what I mean, black and white ones, you know what I'm saying, old ones, you know what I'm saying? Where you get, it's like you get to see, another one, my favorite, Harlem Comes to Cotton Comes to Harlem. This is my
joke. Oh, my God, man. Raymond St. Jacques and Godfrey Cabers. Let me
Cotton
tell you,
comes
man.
To Harlem,
let me
you
say, hold on, before he goes there, man, one of the greatest lines in cinematic history. Black enough for you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo, man, y'all gonna have me watching these joints tonight. But yo, man, it's good to hear about these films. You know what I mean? It's classic, organic, old school. You know what I mean? Memorabilious. You know what I'm saying? Where these are things that people don't. These are classic films. Classic films where at a time and age where things were real. It was some turbulence out here. I'll say. You know what I mean? Back in those times, but as we see, they was in Hollywood being millionaires. So I'm gonna have to put a question mark on that part. You know what I mean? Especially my man Sidney Paulie and all of them. You mean? You know they was millionaires. You see what I'm saying? But the parts that they played in these films, you know what I'm saying? It kind of gave you a reflection on the turbulence that was going on back in those ages, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, shout out to this show tonight, you know what I mean, on the WBNN, you know what I mean? Clev One will be on the sticks August 9th, a.k.a. July 9th, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Hold up. Oh, you on here, right? Is that the right date or what, man?
Hey, no, it's July 17th.
Oh,
you know what?
Jenny,
you
know what?
I'm just saying, it's gonna be all tonight.
Listen, man. Check this out, man. I'll walk the plank on that one. You feel me? We right in the water with that one, Bobby. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to hang. I'm on the hang, guy. Feel you? Know what I'm saying, keeping it loose out here, Jack. You know what I mean? Y'all with the blaxploitation languages. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
I just wanted to
slide through. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where the bums got changed $400 down 15th Market in front of the Pretzel Factory. Check the satellites.
You know what?
Man,
you know what? You know what? You know what? You start this mess.
Through.
I'm so glad he's still on. Now it's time for me to mess with you. I said, I got the John Conqueror for you, didn't I? Didn't I tell you that I was going to do that to you? Didn't I tell you I was going to move your mind,
indeed.
Brother? Are you ready to
yes,
have your mind
yes,
moved
indeed.
And changed and rearranged for your instant pleasure?
Hey, you got to give me a five on the black hand side before you do it, though. I mean the brown side.
Man, listen, man, I will do something, man, white and black side, man, and nails, too. And here it go, y'all. Man, all I got to do is say this one thing to all of y'all in two words. It's Pam Grier. Oops. Brown is a 1974 American blaxploitation film written and directed by Jack Hill, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I love it. You know what I mean? It stars Pam Grier. Oh, Lord, have mercy. As the title character, who takes on a gang of white drug dealers who murder her boyfriend. The film was released, of course, again, by American International Pictures as a double feature with Truck Turner. And that was, you know, of course, Ike Hayes, right? The film used Afrocentric references in clothing and hair. Grier starred in six blaxploitation films with American International Pictures. Now, you know, Foxy Brown seeks revenge while her government agent boyfriend is shot down on her doorstep by members of the drug syndicate. Now, of course, she links her boyfriend's murders to a modern agency, but run by Steve Elias and Catherine Wall, that services local judges, congressmen, and police in the area. Now, Foxy decides to pose as a prostitute, infiltrate the company, and saves a fellow black woman. Hey, like Tony Buxton always talk about, right? Saves a fellow black woman from a life of drugs and sexual exploitation and reunites her with her husband and her child. Tony Buxton, all I know is, hey, honey, it's Foxy Brown. Oh, Lord.
Man, and you talking about Pam Grier, one of the most beautiful women.
Oh my God, man!
Portrayed during that era. Oh my God!
One of the most beautiful
gorgeous.
Women that ever walked the earth, man. One of the most beautiful women that walked the earth,
no,
bro.
Right.
You talking about Pam Grier, bro? Like being her presence,
it's
man. Even to that, even to listen at 75, man. Beautiful woman, man. Like,
wow.
Like you know, I never forget. And I'm gonna share something with the whole world, right? I learned a lot about beauty through Ebony magazine. So I was a little kid, 6 or 7 years old. I used to play football with the Dixie Cups through the living room, right? And I would have Pam Grier and all the rest of that, man. I wasn't shy to women no more, man, because it's all about the eyes, right? Pam Grier, boy. Like, there's no words that can even encompass that woman, man. Like, tall, man, 5 feet 10 inches tall of woman. And you heard Antonio Fargas say, man, my sister's a hell of a woman.
Wow. I got a trivia question I want to pose. I know other people is hitting you up, man, that want to get put on. Remember,
yeah.
I think she was married to Leon Kennedy, man. I mean, he was the main star as Too Sweet back in the day. Remember
she was the girlfriend of Leon Kennedy. Leon Arthur Kennedy. His wife was Jane Kennedy, sir.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, right? That's the one that the media, and you know me, I wouldn't be me if I didn't throw those bricks, because this is We Will Aware You. They had the audacity to try to say that she was too fine to be, as they say, of colored descent.
Yeah, you know what? You know, we talk about Jane Kennedy, man. Now, see, you starting your mess, man.
Right.
Jane Kennedy was a fine woman. She wasn't no Pam Grier. Pam Grier is the excellence, man. But, you know... Jane Kennedy, man.
Right.
Went, okay, you know what, though? Since you want to start your mess right here, We Will Aware You. Let's go back to the beginning scene of Let's Do It Again. When Jane Kennedy had that Walkman and made Bill Cosby crash his forklift. Okay? Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Jane Kennedy, man, you know what I mean? You know, Pam Grier being the Gemini and Jane Kennedy being that Scorpio. Man, what you talking about, Jane Kennedy, man? Like, another one, man, that I looked up to, man, as a little child, man. Like, man, you know, that's the image I wanted to marry, man. Like, Jane Kennedy, man, intelligent, articulate, man, beautiful, man, and legs that will kill you. Jane Kennedy, man, with her legs was unmarked, man. Ooh, succulent. Ain't no Jane Kennedy,
not
man.
What,
like, stop playing, man. Oh, why are you doing that to me, man? You want to bring up Jane Kennedy?
Hey, look.
Ooh,
not one,
Lord.
Not one mosquito bite ever.
Oh,
look,
my God, bro.
Man. I know we got other people that want to get in. So
yeah,
we're
going to bring them on. No, he's going to try to do that, trying to pass it off. He ain't right. He's going to bring a Jane Kennedy right here on this show. And I'm going to get you. I promise I'm going to get you. Carla, you're live right now. I don't even want to talk to Hooney right now. You talk to Hooney right now on the One and Only Beverly Nation.
All right,
hello,
Carla.
This is
your name,
African Anna. This is African Anna. I want to know, what are you doing on this show when you're supposed to be in the Village Hunting Alliance for me? What is your problem?
Why are you on this show? I'm sorry.
You'll be very
sorry. My mail order bride has just, I mean, you're supposed to be computerized. You're not supposed to be calling a landline. You're supposed to call me through the internet.
Who said this is a landline? And this other person you were talking to, what is this in these movies he is telling everybody? He don't give anybody a chance in the Village. What if we want to watch the movie on our 10-inch TV? And we know already what's going to happen. This is no good. We don't even have time to put the coconut meat in our ears. We don't have to wait. What is this?
In Africa, listen, I got you. In Africa, we got VCR tapes, man, to put in that 10-inch, man, at your kitchen table. Don't worry about it. We got you.
But we already know what's going to happen. That's okay. What is this? This is no good. This man here, I hear him talking. We over here. We are hungry. We are waiting for him to hunt the lion in the village, and he's over here talking to you, lollygagging. I don't understand. I don't understand this. This is no good. I'm going to put my friend on now. This is no good.
I'm going to tell you right now, put your friend on. No, you're not. African Anna, it's okay. You are a beautiful black sister from the motherland, and we love you very, very much. And you are the inspiration for these black exploitation movies. How about this?
remember it's computer love. there ain't nothing but that computer love right there.
African Anna mad at you, Hooney. She mad at you. So, Hooney, this is Tiana Speaks, and I just wanted to call in and support the show. And, of course, you know, you guys are dinosaurs. So I wasn't, alive back then when all this was going on. I'm just messing with y'all. I'm only joking. But
I'm going to get her ass, y'all. I'm gonna get her ass on the One Only Beverly Nation.
So my show is tomorrow. My show is tomorrow. And you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you now. I have the Damon Feldman from Celebrity Boxing will be coming on,
And I know my brother Hooney's going to help me out with this. So, yes. So, Damon Feldman, a celebrity boxing. If you want to follow him, it's Celebrity Boxing, then with the number one on IG. And if you want to follow me, it's Speaks Radio on IG. So, and I have the show tomorrow on the wonderful Beverly Nation, WBNN, with my wonderful radio family. So I just wanted to call in to support the show.
Oh, man, Tiana Speaks, we love you. Nothing you can do about it. And, of course, this young lady, man, is vigilant. She's a multi-host at WBNN. I love this young lady, man. You know, look what she's doing with, you know, Yanisi Carter-Amate, as well as wonderful, powerful thoughts. And I love her because she gets a heart. And what she believes in, she stays in. So I really appreciate the great Tiana Speaks. Now, of course, what more can I say? That hadn't already been said. Yeah, it is what it is. Because sometimes you got to fight oppression when they're trying to kill you.
Three the hard way.
The hard way, y'all. What more can I say about that movie? That movie moves me a lot because of the situation and, you know, about genocide and what it did to our community, right? Three the Hard Way is a 1974 action black exploitation film directed by the great Gordon Parks Jr., written by Eric Monte, and starring Fred Williams, Jim Brown, and Jim Kelly. And, you know, shout out to Jim Brown and Jim Kelly, who's not longer with us. Wow, I can't believe Jim Brown passed away this year. Jimmy Late and his girlfriend Wendy came across Jimmy's friend's house, who was wounded and dying. Late learns from House that he escaped from a secret medical expert in the expectation. But later in the hospital, the delirious house tells Late there's someone who aims to kill us all, and they have a way of doing it. However, Late has to return to his studio to supervise a recording session for a group he's producing, and it was the impressions in that movie. He leaves Wendy at the hospital. While Wendy talks to Jim on the phone outside the room, two men climb through the window, murder House, and kidnap Wendy. After finding about her kidnapping, Jimmy begins a quest to find out whereabouts of his girlfriend. But a group of attackers ambush him. Late survives with the help of his friend, Jagger Daniels. Late and Daniels join up with Mr. Keys by his mother. So, you know, he was named Mr. by his mother, so people were forced to show him respect. After he wins a fist fight with several police officers attempting to plant drugs in his car. Now, there was a secret plot of black genocide concocted by the nefarious Monroe Pfeffer, the leader of a secret neo-Nazi white supremacist organization, developed a lethal poison that only affects African Americans. And they planned to deploy the serum into the water systems of every major city in the United States in order to wipe out their population. And, of course, black population. The three heroes reunite as Late leaves the hospital and decides to stop the poison of the water supplies. Three the hard way, three cities, three of us. Talk about it, Mr. Huni Bakatoon. Yeah, man, brother,
man.
Help each other. Oh, I got to say.
Man, you're really getting it in, man. And welcome back again, once again. We will aware your attentive listening audience. These films were some of the most important films to be delivered, again, coming out of that segregation era into integration. Not only did we integrate, you know, different neighborhoods and schools and patronize different businesses that also didn't take time to patronize our business, right? But we finally made it on film where we had a chance to start telling our stories, even though these stories is being told today. Shout out to Tyler Perry, who also dedicated a part of his studio to the late, great Sidney Poitier. And much divine love and respect for Sidney Poitier, because it was him that really, really set it off. Because he was actually the very first that I can recall that actually pimp slapped a pale man live on film. Okay?
Tell it.
Because it was during that time that it kept showing all kind of abuse and, you know, all kind of things that would take place with Europeans and showing the white power structure always doing all kind of things. So when he actually got slapped, Sidney Poitier actually slapped him back. Okay? So again, if we're going to tell it, we got to tell it all. And it was during that day and time, and if it wasn't for those films, that's why I suggest everyone who's tuning in to tonight is to take time during your spare time to go back and revisit those films, because there was the prelude. And they was able to share a lot within I won't say a matter of minutes, but within a couple of hours. And they had excellent storylines during that time. But this is Joint Adventures, and I want everybody to take a chance and press that one and come on and interact with us before the time is up.
Yeah, man. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, we got to call this Bite at the Bit, and we'll get her on real, real shortly. Because I got to go to this movie. This movie changed everything in our community. It talked about the ills of our community and a brother that was doing wrong that decided to do right at the end. Man, Superfly.
Hard to understand, but a hell of
Wow, Curtis, you're the man. Superfly is a 1972 American blaxploitation neo-noir crime drama directed by Gordon Parks and starring Ryan O'Neal as young blood priest, African-American cocaine dealer who's trying to quit the underworld drug business. The film is well known for its soundtrack written and produced by soul musician Curtis Mayfield. It was released on August 4th, 1972. And in 2022, imagine this, Tony Bacchatoon, the film was selected for preservation by the United States National Film Registry in the Library of Congress, being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. How about that? How about that? You know, it's crazy, all these films I talked about, there was Superfly that was recognized for the Library of Congress. How you feel about that, sir?
Well, it's about time. Again, you know, for so many years, we went missing on the big screen. And again, you know, we had to take, you know, that little inch and end up making all of these classic films and turn that inch into many different milestones, man. That
Come
still
on now.
Remains
Come on now.
Classic today. Here remains classic today, y'all. And if it wasn't for films like that, we wouldn't be able to have some of the films just being told today. Okay?
Come on now.
So again, you know, it shows the significance of a people when we can sit back and look at our past, because a lot of times we need it more today than we ever did. And it showed how we was able to survive, again, all kind of conditions, man, not just the drugs, but it also showed all kind of things. You know, the business era, you started to show us being in positions of power, living in prominence, okay? It didn't always show the so-called flip side or the bad side. It also showed, you know, men and women as husbands and wives and families and stuff like that. Yeah, it shows the different challenges that we all face during the families and all that kind of stuff, right? But again, it was that, and this is why I prayed and meditated and had to reach out to Hall of Fame 4 times to be able to do us justice as well as you, the listening audience, because it's time.
You know what's crazy about that, man? You know, the music involved people. There was only one movie that moved me in this, you know, in this era. Black Strength, and it was Black Panther, you know what I mean, with the late, great Chadwick Boseman. And, you know, we need the black hero in music. We need the black hero in our communities, and we need the black hero in our films. And, of course, our last call of the evening. Talk to us tonight about what you know about the blaxploitation outstanding movies of the 1970s.
Wow. Hey, how y'all doing, Brother Hooney, Brother Earl? Good show tonight. Well, I grew up in that era, of course, being born in 1963. So in the 70s, I watched all of the movies that y'all talked about tonight. And one of my favorites was always, well, Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor and Sidney Poitier. Their movies were good. So you talked about those pieces of a piece of the action, Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again. I liked all of those. Clev talked about Cotton Comes to Harlem. And one I want to talk about is Comeback Charleston Blue. Comeback Charleston Blue, that was another one. That was a black exploitation film dealing with the drug war. And,
man.
You know, So
that was a great movie. That was a great movie, man. And listen, but Raymond St. Jacques and Godfrey Cambridge. And Godfrey left this world too early, too, man. Like, that was a shocker.
Yes.
I never forget, I was 6 years old looking at the, you know, the news in California, and they said Godfrey Cambridge died. Like, what? I just saw him in Watermelon Man. Like, you know,
That was a good movie. And that soundtrack with Donny Hathaway and Quincy Jones did the soundtrack.
Oh, my
that
God.
One. And that was a good soundtrack. And, you know, I think I read that you were giving a tribute out tonight, too, to Harry Belafonte, Brother Hooney. And, you know, he was a great actor. Great actor. And a film back in, I want to say, I guess it was the 50s, I think it was the 50s, around 54 or somewhere, Carmen Jones.
Carmen Jones.
Yeah.
See, that, we're twins.
Oh,
we're twins right now, Dr. J. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh.
That was one of my all-time favorite. I know that's going way back, but that was a good movie. Because it, in that movie, it showed like the some of the prominent blacks, and you know, some of the less fortunate. And Harry Belafonte was a soldier, and all that stuff. And you know, that was a really good movie. And then he got caught up in that nightlife lured in by Carmen Jones, and you know,
yep.
And so she just bad for him. So, but anyway,
you ready for this? You ready for this, Dr. J and Honey Barcatoon? I'm talking about the pervasiveness of racism. Harry Belafonte did not sing in that movie. It was a single.
Right.
Because they were so afraid of his masculinity as a black man to sing in Carmen Jones. Oh, my goodness.
Right, and that's such a shame, right? That's really a shame. But, yeah. And you know, they used to do a lot of stuff like that way back then and not really allow blacks to, you know, go all out and show all that they have, and because we're so talented and everything. And, you know, back then those movies, they really did not portray us in the best way in the 70s, because it was usually with drugs and all that stuff, violence. And if we look today, we still see these movies today with drugs and violence. And then there are some exceptions when we see some movies with us being lawyers and doctors and all that stuff and having beautiful homes and all of that. But that's how we should be portraying ourselves today and not being like back in the 70s with those types of movies, because we don't have to take those roles anymore. We don't have to even go and see those types of films. But, hey, people still do. They love to see the movies with about drugs and all that stuff and violence. But we're better than that. And, you know, we've come a long way as far as being a part of the acting world and the singing world and musician world and all of that stuff. But although we came a long way, we're trying to go backwards. And it's so sad that we're like that. But we don't have to go backwards. We can progress and we can make music that will help our people. We can make movies that will help our people and let our people see, hey, look, hey, everybody don't live like this, you know, and everybody doesn't live in the projects, and even those that do, there have been some people that have came out of the projects and grown up to be somebody. So, and I'm not talking about like Jay-Z, okay, he's a rapper. Okay, so I'm not talking about like Jay-Z. I'm talking about people that have gone on to become lawyers and doctors and things like that from the projects. So,
I got to go there with you. Now, you look at movies like The Learning Tree, Sounder, and what you just said, someone that grew up in the projects and became an outstanding writer for television. His name is Eric Monte. Okay, folks? Eric Monte wrote for All in the Family, The Jeffersons, and he was an executive producer of Good Times. Okay?
Yeah.
And he was an executive producer of Coolie High. So just what Dr. J just said is real, Honey Barcatoon. Like, you know, that's Eric Monte is the embodiment of what, you know, Dr. J is talking about. You know, you ain't got, you know, like Jesse Jackson said, you know, I'm not a big Jesse Jackson fan, but he said something that was deep. You could be in the project, you don't have to be of it. And you can always aspire to be great. So Dr. J, talk about your show on tune and get these final thoughts.
Okay. This coming Sunday, y'all definitely want to tune into News Forum 9:30 p.m. We're going to have an update on the case of Gary Wayne Sutton from Tennessee, your neck of the woods, Hooney. And he's been on death row now for over 30 years. And he was sentenced to die. They were going to execute him last year, but then the governor had stayed all executions and everything, so they did not execute him. But now executions are back up and running. So, you know, he is innocent, and there's a wealth load of information and evidence to prove it, but his public defender won't even entertain all of the new evidence that his private investigator has come up with. And, you know, it's so very sad. And then also we have a new case, a guy named Strong that's currently wrongfully incarcerated. His mom is going to be on telling his story on Sunday night
right
here on WBNN.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chinchilla J, the 2022 Anna Waddell Award recipient for excellence, our host of the year at WBNN. It's Ngozi time, and I know my man's been waiting at the bit to hear this song, and I'll come back on after it. Of course, you know, that was the original soundtrack, so you heard them, you know, the gangsters going to the car at the end, so it is what it is. You know, I try to keep it authentic. First of all, what a great show tonight. I was, you know, I'm very, very privileged to be a part of this outstanding, you know, something that's near and dear to our heart, and, you know, the movies of the 1970s. And I grew up as a little kid, you know, being an only child and, you know, fantasizing greater. And I'm glad that I'm able to be a part or something that's greater. And that's WBNN, Bevy Nation. Looking in that mirror as 5 years old, saying, you know, that was my TV, and knowing what I wanted to do. Maybe from the crib. And my mom always said that, you know, when Walter Cronkite started talking, my head peeked out the crib. And I'm so proud of Looney Bakatoon tonight. Thank you, Looney Bakatoon, for being part of this outstanding network. Tomorrow night, we come back on this WBNN with a multi-host, and her name is Tiana Speaks. And the name of the show is called The Power of Thoughts, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time with the one and only Bevy Nation. WBNN has advertising to Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter, and Ngozi_time. Ola Dali Malin, Ngozi at Facebook. Any kind of suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, Ola Dali, that Ngozi with my gmail.com, and I am Your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malay, when goes to saying goodnight. Good luck to all the folks out there on our Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to the two-time WBNN Host of the Year, enshrining to the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame in 2020 and Lifetime Achiever of the same academy in 2022, the Magic Man Haru, Huni Bak-Atun.
Wow, what a great, great night and transmission. I have to say thank you to everyone who's tuned in to this show while it was live and direct, as well as give thanks to everyone who take the time to listen to this show in its archive. On that last song and the many different songs that Hall of Fame four times shared with us during that era. And again, I highlight that last song because it showed the faith of a powerful people that have went through so many things that were stripped of everything that you can imagine, including our very right to live. By virtue of the fact that we're still here, we was able to endure some of the most hellacious conditions to ever face during Mission Planet Earth. And we was able to overcome some of the most addictive drugs and alcohol and even situation after situation after situation. One of the things that really impressed me during that era, even though they only had a couple of hours to create a storyline of sometimes it would show the rise, the fall, the impoverished situations, and I also mentioned it showed us in better conditions when we own our own businesses, our neighborhoods and stuff like that, and showed how very important it was to come together as a people and make things happen for ourselves and each other. It was during that era where we started to finally see ourselves in many different forms, but the key to it all, it showed that we had the power to overcome. And this is the main thing that I want us to really get the gist of on tonight's We Will Aware You, as we spoke about movies that made us. Thank you so much. As always, I give thanks to all and all who's in all, through all, above, and in compassion all. And on that note, We Will Aware You will return in 30 evenings from tonight with another advancement.